Hey everybody, welcome to Two Out the First. It is April 8th, 2024. I'm Ryan Balogi, and it is Masters Week. So happy to be here with you. Presented by our friends at Swannies. Check them out, swannies.co. Use the promo code GOLFNEWSNET25. Save 25% off that first order. They've got some great stuff here for spring. You should be checking them out each and every week. They're reloading with lots of cool capsules, and they're coming out with a pretty good cadence. So check them out, swannies.co. All right, so a couple of things to talk about today. Obviously, Masters Week. We've got that. We've got some comments from Jon Rahm that are kind of interesting. And we've got Nelly Korda, who's lighting up the world. And we'll talk about, I guess, the things that kind of happened yesterday and spin it forward just a little bit for today, you know, getting through into Masters Week. There's a lot to kind of uncover. I mean, we had Lottie Woad winning the Augusta National Women's Am. She birdied three of the last four holes to do it, which was really cool. If you didn't get to catch it on Saturday, I would invite you to catch a replay if you get a chance. The finish was really, really good. Bailey Shoemaker, who's a freshman at USC, she shot 66, which is now the Augusta National Women's Amateur Tournament record for Augusta National. And she had a sweat, man. She had a legitimate chance to win the tournament. And all the credit in the world to Lottie Woad, who swings really interestingly. When she wants to draw it, she almost kind of comes over the top. But she's got a lot of power, and she putted lights out down the stretch. I mean, she made a great-looking birdie putt on 15, up the hill, right to left, right in the middle. 16, thought she had the birdie in the hole, missed it by an inch, maybe, a little on the top side, and then broke into the hole if it were, you know, 6 inches by. 17, great putt, nothing but net. 18, I mean, it's a putt that moves a foot and a half, and she just drilled it right in the heart. Really, really cool for her to win. Obviously, she's a very understated person. She, not because she's English, but just because she's understated. She's in Florida State. Didn't seem like a person especially comfortable with all the praise she was getting for the moment, but her life's going to change forever now, and she's going to be in this tournament for as long as she wants to be an amateur golfer, basically. I assume this will encourage her to consider turning professional. And commiserations to Ingrid Lindblad, who's the number one amateur in the world. She went to LSU. This is her last year. She's going to be turning pro, I think, after the collegiate season. I'm going to make a go at it on the Epson Tour, see if she can't get to the LPGA. She's finished, I think, top three in this tournament 3 times out of 4, and just a little snake bitten in the tournament. But she's a great, great player, and I think a lot of people will root for her if she makes it to the LPGA. And we'll see more Bailey Shoemaker. Certainly at this tournament in the future. She's a good player. I mean, she was 150th in the world amateur golf ranking, and she nearly won the Augusta National Women's Am. So I think she's got a lot of room there to continue to grow as a player. Gianna Clement, who's, I think, 16, is an incredible player. She finished top 5, I believe, in the tournament. It was a good week. So that was Saturday, right? And then Sunday, I'm going to tell this story a little bit from a first-person perspective, because the Valero Texas Open came to a conclusion with a playoff. Denny McCarthy against Akshay Bhatia. Akshay Bhatia won. You know that. Denny McCarthy's third shot on the par 5 18th in the playoff hole found the water, chunked it from, I don't know, 100 yards. And Akshay, who had seemingly dislocated his shoulder while giving a high five after making a birdie putt on top of Denny on 18 in regulation to force the playoff, and then he got some treatment for it. I guess he had it popped into place, maybe. Came back, birdies the hole, makes 4, and wins the golf tournament for his second PGA Tour win. Gets into the Masters tournament, so he is the 89th and final player in the field for the 2024 Masters tournament. Denny was already in because of his great year last year on the PGA Tour, getting to the Tour Championship, so he's fine. It's a bummer that he didn't win, and I want to talk about it from that perspective because I have a first-person perspective to lend to this. As you know, as I mentioned probably on the show a number of times, Denny plays out of our club. Well, he grew up playing out of our club, Argyle Country Club in Silver Springs. Family's also members, I believe, of Baltimore Country Club. And, you know, he's a great, great player. Lives in Florida now. Obviously, is made into the top 30 in the world. I mean, he's a great, great golfer. His brother, Ryan, has finished a term as the president of our club. He's, you know, his early 30s. I mean, he's a good dude. He's ushered in some great changes at our club. And his family was, a lot of his family, not all of it, but a good chunk of his family was there at Argyle on Sunday afternoon. I was actually out on the golf course playing a 9-hole match. We have a Tuesday night league that got rained out. So we had to have a makeup and wound up playing in the afternoon. We were playing with a couple other guys, me and my partner, shout out to Tito. And we were kind of keeping the golf one in the background because on our phones, because Denny was well clear of third place. I mean, it was very evident on the back nine that was at best a two person tournament, and really felt like a one person tournament because Akshay was cruising. He was up at six at one point in the back nine. And then Denny birdies 10, pars 11, and then birdie after birdie after birdie after birdie, just unlikely birdies, chip-ins, the putts you know he's going to make, they go in the jar. And even still, I mean, we were on the seventh or eighth hole when he got it to within two and then got it to within one, I think, on the ninth hole that we were playing. But, I mean, obviously, the match that we were playing became inconsequential. We just wanted to get to the clubhouse and see what would happen, if Denny could tie it or maybe even win it. And we finish up our match, run into the clubhouse, and he gets there and ties it. Place loses its mind, which was great, and then gets the 18, makes the birdie putt. He goes first because he was at like 12 feet and some, and Akshay was at 11 feet and some, and the place just lost its mind. I mean, it was so cool. I mean, there were probably 100-ish, 150 people in that bar. I mean, it's a small bar at our club. We don't have a huge clubhouse or anything. We're kind of a blue-collar club. Actually, our clubhouse used to be a barn on which the property used to be a farm, and, you know, 75 years ago turned into Argyle Country Club. And just really, really cool to see the community come together in support of Denny and his family. And yeah, the chunk into the water on 18 was a big old thud moment. I didn't take video of it. I shared the video of the birdie making regulation on 18 and then Akshay's, because I thought, yeah, if he misses, obviously Denny wins. So I had that. But I didn't take video of him, you know, chunking in the water for all of you sickos who were asking. And I didn't do that because I figured a stock wedge would easily find the green and then we would just film the putts. But that obviously I didn't turn into something of consequence. And the air got let out of the room, right? I mean, people were sad, and then they were kind of miffed because Batia took a little time out to get his shoulder pop back into place. He wasn't going to withdraw from the tournament. I mean, he would have chipped it one-handed to win the tournament and get into the Masters. He could have done that. But that it was really cool to kind of have that sweat. You know, he shot 28 on the back to get into the playoff. That's wild. I mean, that he had no business being in that playoff. And he got there. And that's really cool. And it was just a unique atmosphere to be at Argyle when that happened. I wasn't there when he got into the playoff at Memorial last year against Victor Hovland. I mean, the place would have burnt to the ground if he had won. I mean, there's so many people in the bar. The bar made so much money because of people. We are a very good drinking club with a golf course attached. And just to have so many people there kind of supporting him at that moment, I mean, it would have been a $10,000 opportunity for the club in terms of drinking, because so many more people would have showed up to celebrate. And, you know, maybe we'll get that day at Argyle, but very proud of him and that comeback, you know, on a personal level. But it was a really entertaining tournament. You know, those guys they gained 21 shots on the field for the week. 21 each. And then you have the playoff. They were so far ahead of everybody else. I mean, what, 8 ahead of the B flight, which was headed by Rory McIlroy. Pretty incredible stuff. Probably the most entertaining tournament of the year, at least for me. I would argue probably the Players was the best tournament of the year to this point. But really, really cool to watch that. Very excited to have that kind of sweat, you know, even if it didn't come through. Then on the LPGA side, Nelly Korda is unbeatable right now. Unbeatable. She won her fourth consecutive LPGA tournament. And she did it in dominating fashion in the match play portion of the T-Mobile match play, which was played at Shadow Creek just outside Vegas, a place I would love to play someday. Hoping to get out there this maybe June. Not necessarily to Shadow Creek, but to Vegas and get out there for a few days. But what a cool change of format this year. They went from the original format of this tournament, which was 64 players, group, you know, round robin group stage, And then you played into a breakout tournament, you know, a knockout tournament with 16 players. The group winners moved on, and then you played 16-8, 4-2, and you had a consolation match. But if you wound up winning the tournament, you played seven matches over the course of Wednesday to Sunday. And that's a lot. That's a lot of golf, especially being the tournament leading into a major championship, which is where it's positioned now. Their first major of the year, the LPGA's, is the Chevron Championship. That's not this week, but next. And the tournament changed the format to 96 players, stroke play qualifying. So 36 holes, cut to top 65 in ties. All those players make a paycheck for the week. That's good. Then, huge cut after the third and final round of stroke play qualifying. So 54 holes, a total stroke play qualifying. Top 8 on the number get through into the match play bracket. And Nelly Korda rallied on Friday, which was when the third round was played, just to get in 6th place and winds up getting into the bracket. And from there, I mean, it was on. There was no chance she was losing. She wound up winning 4-3 against Leona Maguire in the final. She beat Naren Ann. I forget who she beat in the quarterfinal round, but I mean, it was just straight dominance. And she's playing unbeatable golf right now. She's playing like someone who's won 4 in a row, who knows no one is on her level and can touch her at the moment. And she talked about kind of taking a little break after all that, like kind of cooling down for a week, recovering from all the golf. And golf does take it out of you. I mean, it's a high-stress environment. It does eventually take it out of you. And then getting ready for the major championship, which should play to her strength. The club at Carlton Woods in Texas is a little bit longer. It should play to her strength. She should do well. She's got a chance to tie the LPGA's consecutive wins record, which is 5, held by Nancy Lopez in 1978, and Annika Sörenstam, I believe it was 2003 or 4. I think it's 2004. She's the first person to win 4 LPGA events in a row, 4 starts in a row, since Lorena Ochoa in 2008. I mean, these are all all-time greats of the LPGA that Nelly now finds herself aligned with. Because of this win streak, it's really cool to see her kind of establish herself as the most dominant player on the LPGA by far, and do it not because of how, you know, do it with the clubs. Make her name by the way she plays golf. Get out there and just stomp on some people 4 times in a row and prove that you're the best in the world. No one's even close to you. She, by all accounts, is a pretty reluctant superstar. She doesn't want to do a lot of press. She doesn't want to puff her chest out there a lot. She doesn't want to do photo shoots and interviews and think pieces and all that. She just wants to play golf and kick some ass. And nothing like a win streak to convince people to just let her play golf and kick some ass. And that's what she's doing right now. It's cool to watch. I hope people are picking up on it. I think people are, just based on kind of the numbers I was seeing at GNN over the weekend and for the video content we've started doing for MSN, that people are paying attention to this. Maybe not in massive numbers, but they are paying attention to it. And hopefully it continues. Hopefully she can cap it off with a major championship win, which will be a bigger stage. Network TV golf for the LPGA. It'd be a great opportunity. It shouldn't be that kind of pressure placed on her, and I'm not trying to, but from a women's golf viewpoint, from, you know, a holistic viewpoint, what would be good for women's golf? Nelly Korda smoking some people at the Chevron would do that. That would do that. I think that would get a lot of people's attention. And it's coming at a moment more broadly for women's sports that's really cool. I'm sure you've probably heard the numbers if you follow this kind of stuff, I don't know the final rating, but 14.2 million people watched Iowa versus UConn. And I realize a lot of that has to do with Caitlin Clark and the run that she went on. And unfortunately, for Iowa fans, they did not wind up winning the national championship, lost to South Carolina 87-75 in the final. And the South Carolina team's lost once in the last 2 years, and that was to Iowa last year in the semifinal round. I mean, they are a remarkably special team, and Dawn Staley's been awesome at that program. But women's sports is starting to get into more mainstream acceptance in a bigger way. And I I don't think it, I don't see it as a fluke. I don't see it as totally one person driven. I don't think it is completely Caitlin Clark. I mean, you've got Caitlin Clark, of course, but you've got Angel Reese, who's going to the WNBA. You've got Paige Beckers, who's great. I think she's got one more year at UConn. She's probably going to play. You got Juju Watkins over at USC. The South Carolina team's loaded with stars. I mean, the game is moving along, and I think that the LPGA can capture on that. I hope that they can. But you've got a star right here in Nelly Korda, and that's really cool. So it's cool to see her establish herself. She's now got 12, I think it is, or 11 or 12 LPGA wins. I mean, she's just on fire, which, good for her. That's great. So there's that excitement. But obviously, this week's all about the Masters, right? We've got an 89-player field. As I said, Akshay Bhatia rounds that out. Augusta National, sounds like from folks who are on the ground that it's probably in the best shape it's been in a handful of years. It's nice and firm already. There's going to be rain, it sounds like. It sounds like a lot of it on Thursday. So that may lead to some shuffling around in terms of tee times and just trying to do what you can to get through Thursday and Friday and get to the weekend and see what happens. The rest of the week looks great. Friday, Saturday, Sunday seems to look great on the forecast. But Thursday may be a little tricky. So I don't think it's going to be a wave thing. I think it's going to be a whole field thing that gets affected by that. And that'll be unfortunate, but hey, it's a golf. It's going to happen. And what would this year be with the first men's major not having some kind of rain issue, given how much there's already been so far this year? Scottie Scheffler's clearly the number one player in the world. Best player by far, statistically, just shy of kind of like Tiger Woods' peak level. That doesn't mean he's Tiger Woods' level. I'm not saying that. But statistically speaking, he is performing at Tiger-ish, but not Tiger-esque levels, and he should be the guy that wins this tournament. I'm not saying he's going to, but if you just put it all out on paper, he would win this thing by 6 or 7. But that's not how golf works. And you've got on the PGA Tour side, you've got Rory McIlroy, who suddenly reared his head with a good finish at the Valero Texas Open. He won the B flight, and then yeah, he's already won this year at the Dubai Invitational, which was a kind of hit and giggle event on the DP World Tour, or he won the Dubai Desert Classic, almost won that one. So, you know, he's had some good efforts this year. It just, you didn't see him lately, and maybe now is the right time for him, now that he has a good finish coming off that Texas Open. We'll see. You've got Spieth out there, who's seemingly back on, like, playing Spieth golf, maybe not the best version of it, but Spieth golf, where it's, like, using the full course, getting the full tour, using every inch of it to try to score. That was a wild ride over the weekend watching him play. But I think his experience here is very good, even with the 2016 collapse being the most recent bad experience. I think he is putting, though, at a level more like when he won in 2015, more like when he won 3 majors. He's an intriguing guy to watch. I obviously got to think about some of the LIV guys. John Rahm's the defending champion, and he won this tournament with an incredible weekend, especially a Sunday that really made it special for him. And then he upended the golf world and went to a league where he's playing 54 holes, he's playing on relatively easier golf courses, he's playing good competition. I don't think he's playing poor competition. He's playing limited good competition, but it's a 10-person tour that those 10 people are great golfers. And there's 13 LIV golfers in the field this year. I think there were 18 last year, 13 this year, because basically all their players that qualified through the top 50 in the world ranking last year are long out of the top 50 because they don't get world ranking points. So, yeah, you know, Rahm leads that contingent. You've got Brooks Koepka, who probably should have won this tournament by now. He's been so close multiple times, but has not yet. He clearly likes the golf course. If he were to win this, that's a 6th major championship. That leaves him one shy of the career Grand Slam. It puts him in the company of the 10, 15 greatest major championship golfers of all time. It's an interesting opportunity. You've got Joaquin Niemann, who got a special invite to this tournament, primarily because of his performance in the Australian Open. At least that's what Augusta National says, but he played very well in winning a couple of LIV events. He's playing great golf this year, but has not been playing quite as well lately. I don't know if he's if he kind of peaked too soon or how that works, but we'll see how that works for him here. I think he has the kind of quality ball striking that you need to be able to win here. That's the profile of a champion for the Masters. You got to be one of the elite ball strikers in the world in the current year to win. If you look at the last dozen years, that's basically your champion. Those are the like 10, 12, 15 players who can win every year. Everybody else is just there to be there. And I think you've got that list narrowed down to Scotty and Wyndham and Shane Lowry, Siwoo Kim, Xander Schauffele. I guess to a degree, Jason Day. From LIV, they're just starting to do their strokes gain stuff. So you probably put Rahm and Koepka on that list and Neiman. And that's probably that group. And then, you know, maybe a couple guys to round it out. McIlroy, if you took all of the strokes gain stuff between the tours. I think we talked about Schauffele. He's been playing great tee to green, but he doesn't close tournaments. But his closest calls are in the Masters and the U.S. Open in terms of winning a major. Maybe it's his time. I think one of two things is going to happen, and I'll talk about this from a betting perspective on our podcast, The Press, which I'm going to record right after this. But I think one of two things happens here. The most obvious outcome happens, and Scottie Scheffler wins, maybe going away, or something crazy happens. And that's not to say Rahm can't win, Koepka can't win, Rory can't win, stuff like that. That's not what I mean, but maybe that's more in the obvious outcome category, I suppose. But what I mean, the other outcome, it's either Scotty or, you know, a LIV player wins, a top LIV player wins, or something crazy happens, like Siwoo Kim wins as a 90-1 shot, or Ludvig Åberg figures out how to win and do something that hasn't been done here in a long, long time, winning in, you know, as a with little experience at the Masters. I just feel like this year has been very strange, and that's probably why I'm leaning into those two potentials, because you have so often a player who's not, I mean, we've had one player this year other than Scottie Scheffler under 40-1 win a golf tournament. That was Jake Knapp. Everybody else on the PGA Tour has been winning from way deeper than that. So it would seem natural that you get a weird outcome. But Augusta isn't built that way. It's built to reward experience. It's built to reward memory. It's built to reward execution. And they have made that a little bit tougher. They have moved the 10th tee, or excuse me, the second tee back 10 yards to the left a little bit to kind of force the player to take on the bunker and with a draw if they're going to get to be able to go for the green in two. They've made some changes on the back right of beyond the green on six to make it more penalizing to miss the green, to take on that risk. It sounds like they've changed the second green a little bit and the second bunker. They've made it a more difficult golf hole. You have to be a little bit more exact on that hole. Not many other major changes, but they're angling toward making it tougher, right? They've toughened up pretty much every scoring hole in some fashion in the last decade, and that includes all the par fives at this point. So it'll be a great week. I am so excited, and it feels like it's so far away to be Thursday away. But at least you get the par three contest on Wednesday, and you know all the pageantry and talk and pre-tournament stuff. It's going to be great. We're going to have so much fun this week. We'll have shows every day of the week. We'll even do them on Saturday and Sunday. This is a major championship week. Deserves major championship coverage. My daughter's birthday is Sunday. She is a Masters baby. She was originally supposed to be born on Masters Sunday. She'll turn 8, so that's 2016. So kind of worked out for the better that she wasn't born on Masters Sunday. Thinking about, you know, Spieth putting a couple in the water on 12. She was born a couple days later. And I'm so excited to celebrate her birthday with her. But we will be here watching some Masters and celebrate my daughter's birthday. So it's a great, great week. Hope you enjoy it as much as I'm about to. Get a hold of me, Ryan, at thegolfnewsnet.com. On Twitter, Threads, X, Instagram, Blue Sky, Ryan Balogi. On Facebook and YouTube, Ryan Balogi Golf. Golf Newsnet on all those services at Golf Newsnet. If you do me a huge favor, find us on Google News. Just look for Golf Newsnet and subscribe to our page. Helps us a ton. And we can always use a little bit of extra support. Back with another show tomorrow. If you are in pools or betting markets or whatever, check out our podcast, The Press. We're going to go over everything about the Masters Tournament this week, obviously our biggest week of the year in that segment of things. Thanks for listening. We'll talk to you tomorrow on Two Off the First.